Following on from last week, today it's true fellowship. What is true fellowship? We're going to look at three things. What I call its basis, or if you like, its foundation. Then its unity. And thirdly, its love. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Can I suggest that putting 20 or so Christians together isn't necessarily creating a Christian fellowship? In fact, people have come into Christian gatherings and gone away saying or thinking, "I can find more fellowship in the pub or in a club." Therefore, we need to look at what the basis is on which true fellowship can grow. Because true fellowship needs, does it not, to grow. In this verse that we just had, we are given our part and God's part in laying the foundation of genuine Christian fellowship. First of all, then, on our part, there must first of all, it says it in that verse, doesn't it? There must be repentance. This is more than remorse. It involves three elements: a realization that there has been wrong in the past, real sorrow for that wrong, and a decision to turn about and change things in the future. In other words, the quality of repentance determines the quality of Christian fellowship within a group. There must be true repentance. There must be true sorrow. Peter tells his hearers to repent, to be baptized. In other words, what he's telling them is to publicly confess their faith in Jesus. Romans 10, verse 10. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved." So that's on our side. On God's side, there is forgiveness. He forgives us. And there is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We remember surely what happened when the Spirit came down on those 120 disciples at the beginning of the church. They were all filled with the love of Jesus. And this is what still happens when the gift of the Holy Spirit is given. Without the gift of the Spirit working in our lives, let's be honest, we cannot do anything that's worthwhile. We will only find deep Christian fellowship where there is a deep sense of forgiveness through true repentance and a deep work of the Holy Spirit. We need both. Secondly, there is its unity. If you're going to have true fellowship, there's got to be unity among God's people. Psalm 133. "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." You see, God deals with us as individuals. Spiritual experience ought never to be stereotyped. However, One outstanding feature of the early church was their togetherness, the togetherness of its members. God's power is for God's people, and we need to claim that power through the Holy Spirit. And so God's blessing will depend on a remarkable extent of the depth and reality of fellowship within the church. It's got to be true fellowship. The first Christians saw this very clearly. And we know that any problem in the fellowship was an immediate threat. And they knew it had to be dealt with at once. As Ananias and Sapphira discovered very dramatically. I have little doubt that if we long for more of God's power and reality among us, we must need to look first and foremost to ourselves and to our own individual relationship with the fellowship. Niggling criticisms, jealousies, resentments are all too common in many churches today. You may say, well, that's only natural. But you know, we need God's supernatural love poured constantly into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Can I suggest that that is our greatest need for true fellowship? And then thirdly and finally, love. There needs to be true love. Not just love for God, but love for others. Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. We may sometimes think that our failure in prayer is due to our lack of faith. And often that may be true. Perhaps more often we fail through lack of sympathy or compassion. Jesus was repeatedly moved with compassion when he saw the enormous need of sinful, suffering men and women. Such compassion led to prayer and practical help. When Jesus saw these things, it led him to prayer, it led him to give practical help. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipling, writes this: if we have God-given compassion and concern for others, our faith will grow for them far more as we pray. In fact, if we genuinely love people, we desire for them far more than is within our power to give. And that, he says, will cause us to pray. Compassion. It means suffering with someone. Not just saying, oh, we're sorry for them. No, trying to enter into their pain and problems. Again, in Prayer and Pretending, Anne Townsend writes, if I can imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I'm praying, then I can begin to intercede for that person. My imagination leads me on to want to be more deeply involved with them in their own life. And she's right, isn't she? This involvement leads to caring to love, caring to intercession. We may never meet the one for whom we pray, but we may come to love them enough to offer them one of the most precious gifts that we can give. That is the intercession. That is prayer. That is, if you like, love on its knees. It is possible to pray. It is possible to have sufficient compassion for someone that we've heard about but we don't know. We pray today for Sally. We don't know her, but the Lord knows her, and he has heard that prayer already. So, for true fellowship, we need to examine its basis, its foundation, what it was, what it is. We need to see its need for unity, and we certainly need to see its love. There must be love among us as God's people, as God's family, as the fellowship of believers. And I think it's rather fitting, therefore, that we sing this song. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. I think it's quite a newish hymn, but it's a lovely one. And I must admit, when I first heard it, it really struck me deeply.